want to talk to you about that gospel that our children so beautifully articulate, and how we can share that with you in an increasingly difficult environment. It seems like it's getting harder and harder to share our faith. People aren't going to church as much to hear the gospel preached. You don't get to see on television a gospel preacher like a Billy Graham preaching it on TV, and you happen to turn on the TV and there's Billy Graham preaching. By the way, I don't think that's home from South Carolina. It's up to the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte. That's a great place. I would recommend it if you want to make a little trip to school as well. Or you don't hear it on the radio, the gospel preached. Again, Billy Graham and other preachers. The door-to-door evangelism isn't very effective because you open your door when someone's knocking on your door. No, we don't open our door. You don't find gospel tracts sitting on park benches anymore. And, you know, you give someone a book and people don't read it. So it's getting harder and harder to share how they affect it. So that really just leads to one-on-one sharing, which really is the best way to share your faith anyway. Personally share your testimony, what Jesus Christ has done in your life with someone that doesn't know him. An example of that, I just went through my quiet time this week, Mark 5, the story of the Gadarene demoniac. After he was set free of all his demons, it says, so the man went away and began to tell how much Jesus had done for him. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Just sharing your story. How has Jesus impacted your life? But even that is hard for most of us. We're fearful to witness. We don't want to come up too strong and, you know, overwhelm someone. We don't want to appear holier than thou. We don't want to be asked a question that we don't know the answer for and seem embarrassed. We fear being rejected. So we stay silent, and we hope that over time they'll observe our lives and ask us someday about the hope that is in us. But I want to share with you a way that you can share your faith easily, and everyone can do it, and it's hospitality. While people may not be very open to the gospel, they're open to coming over for dinner. The word hospitality is a compound Greek word in the New Testament. So it's a combination of the word love and the word stranger. So we're going to look at some scripture where this word is found in the Bible, and it both relates to the stranger or the unbeliever, but also to the believer. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, or by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. In Acts 28, 7, here's an unbeliever showing hospitality to the Christians. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. And then as a result, this man had a sick family member that was healed by Paul. 1 Timothy 3, 2, to elders in the church. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, but teach. 1 Peter 4, 9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Romans 12, 20, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will be burning oil on his head. Romans 12, 13, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. 3 John 1, 5 through 8. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters. Even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. For it was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought, therefore, to show hospitality to such people, so that we may work together for the truth. John Piper, does a good job of kind of summing this up. He says, strategic hospitality asks, how can I draw the most people into a deep experience of God's hospitality by the use of my home? Who are the people who could be brought together in my home most strategically for the sake of the kingdom? Strategic hospitality is not content to just have the old plan over for dinner again and again. It strategizes how to make hospitality of God known and felt in your community and all over the world, from the lonely church member right here to the Golan farmers in Han, Liberia. Don't ever underestimate the power of your living room as a launching pad for new life and hope and ministry and vision. The modern person longs for relationship and authenticity. And I think they're more open to God than we realize, but they've been turned off to Christians in the church. And they definitely don't like confrontation. The Christians of the first three centuries also thought of themselves as strangers in this world. They realized that they were citizens of another world. One writer says here, but inhabiting Greek as well as barbarian cities, according to as the lot of each of them is determined, and following the customs of the locals in respect of clothing, food, and the rest of their regular daily life, they, this is an unbelievable speaking of Christians, they, the Christians, display to us their wonderful and admittedly striking way of life. They dwell in their own countries, but simply as sojourners. As citizens, they share in all things with others, and yet endure all things as the foreigners. Every foreign land is to them as their native country, and every land of their birth as a land of strangers. They sought to be good citizens in their own country, but yet they realize they were citizens in another country. Augustine says, acknowledge the duty of hospitality. Take in some stranger, for we are all strangers. For the Christian, even in his own palace and in his own country, acknowledges himself to be a stranger, for our country is above, and there we shall not be strangers. So hospitality was the main way of evangelism of the early church. Jesus modeled that for us on many occasions in Matthew 9:10. We read, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, Matthew the tax collector, who just met Jesus, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples, so they could meet Jesus and hear about his vision. Luke 19:5-6. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly into his home. And we know that Zacchaeus had an encounter with Jesus and was changed. In John 12, 2, here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Mark served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. We've got the story of Simon the Pharisee who hosted Jesus in his home. And the woman, the sinful woman, remember, she likes anointing his feet with her tears. Jesus was called a drunk and a glutton because apparently he was at places where he was eating and drinking with sinners. He multiplied the wine at the wedding and he fed the 5,000. So Jesus himself used that opportunity of food and drink together as a way to share the kingdom. There's an old saying that says, when a guest comes, Christ comes. To us, the guests are perhaps the stranger seems suspicious, maybe having wrong intent, but usually not. That's why the early church recognized that that stranger could be an angel, or even Christ himself. Jesus himself said in Matthew 25, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you, a stranger, and invite you in, or needing clothes to clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. I'm thinking of the two then disciples on the road to Emmaus after Jesus had been crucified, and remember the risen Christ joined him in the journey. But their eyes were held back from recognizing him. But the text says that as they sat down and ate together, that their eyes were open and they recognized Jesus. So what does it take to minister to people these days? I think there are a few essentials that it's going to take, especially from our heart. And the first one is, you must have the right heart. You have to love them. You have to want them to know Jesus and then be willing to share our faith. If we don't love people and we don't really care if they hear about Jesus or not, it's a heart issue. We need to ask the Lord, change my heart. Give me your heart for people that don't know you. And of course, they're going to need integrity and gentleness and openness from you. So the right heart. A second thing I need is the desire to develop deeper relationships. So I build a relationship first, even before I witness to them. I mean, the Lord can lead you to go right up to somebody and just tell them about Christ. And that's great. But a more natural way is that you're going to build a relationship with them. And in that relationship, you will have earned the right, so to speak, to be able to share Christ with you. Third thing, you must have the right attitude towards popular culture. Jesus said, you are in the world, not of it. But we're still in the world. So we can't just simply, as Christians, be haters of culture, thus haters of people, nor can we be loners. We're not hide out of my house. And then when I encounter people, just turn or burn, that's not very effective. So I need to know enough about my culture to be able to relate to the people then. Again, I'm in the world, not of it. I must share the gospel. Somewhere down the line, I've kind of shared my faith. And now we wander down the reason that we think in our own minds will be palatable to them. They're going to reject the watered down version. The more you water it down, the less appealing it's going to be. Just tell them about Jesus Christ and who he is. Share your story. Share about how Jesus Christ has made a difference in your life personally. That's going to be the most impactful to that unbelieving person. Now I'm going to get practical and share some things with the help of John Hobson. Just some ideas that maybe you can put into practice. See if one or two or more of these ideas will trigger you. Yeah, I can do that. I want to do that. First thing, eat with them. We all have to eat, right? So why not invite someone to eat with you? Something I've been thinking about doing a chili dinner in our home. Maybe two Monday nights on Monday. And invite all of you, any of you who want to come, you're welcome to come. We want to invite our neighbors to come. And then we'll just see strategically who else we want to invite to that. So we want to be intentional about that. It's a way to bring people together to find ways to share Christ with them. You say, well, I don't like to cook. We'll order pizza that night. Maybe think about taking a co-worker to lunch with opportunity to build a relationship with this person. So we're getting out of our Christian gut, you know, and launch now. You can do this. Second idea is walk, don't drive. So walk around your neighborhood. Meet your neighbors. Strike up a conversation with them. Bring your kids along. That would be great for everybody likes children. So not only are you getting exercise, and that's a good thing for all of us, but I would encourage you, while you're not talking to your neighbors, pray while you're making your walk in your neighborhood. as you pray, you're bringing a spiritual presence there. You're claiming territory for Jesus Christ in the world. He's going to be doing it in your neighborhood. Here's a third idea. Be a regular. I mean, it's fun to try new restaurants. Yeah. But also go with the idea that I'm going to go to a few places where I'm going to be a regular, where they're going to see my face on a regular basis. So I'm going to go to the same gas station, the same grocery store, the same place where I get my hair cut. I'm going to go to the same place for coffee. I'm going to go to the same diner for lunch. So I'm going to get to know the workers. And I'm going to smile at them. I'm going to ask them questions about their life. Because I want to build a relationship with that person where over time I may have an opportunity to share Christ with them. So hot summer days, I'm going to get out of the office while I'm at work. So I want to get a little exercise. So I'm going to go to Lowe's and walk around. Doing that, I build some relationships with the people over there. And other places, McDonald's, I'll hang out. For Kathy, it's Gold's Gym. For you, it's somewhere else. Where is a place where you can be a regular and get to meet people and be praying for those workers and praying for that restaurant or that coffee shop? Some other things that we've been doing is we get sweet, broad gift cards. And maybe our waitress is especially friendly or somebody looks lovely, and we'll just go with them to them and give them a sweet, broad gift card. Another thing is we will buy $5 worth of McDonald's gift cards, buy a bunch of them, and where the person is standing on the street or somebody comes up to you and wants money, I don't always feel comfortable giving them money, but if you give them a gift card to some place, then they can get a meal if they really are hungry, and it's a way to engage them in conversation. Another thing my wife does is we go to a restaurant and you get the check. So always write a Christian message on that check to the waiter or waitress. And again, just a little way to plant a seed in that person that Jesus Christ is a real one. How about number four, hobby with unbelievers? Again, you're being intentional about this. What do you love to do? Fishing, target shooting, that's a couple of mine. For you, it might be bowling, or crafts, or music, or tennis, or karate, or book club, or your kids' sports. Kids' sports and activities definitely have some value, but let me tell you the real value. You rubbing shoulders with that, those other parents, where your kids are out there on the soccer field just running around, and just kick a ball around. But there you are, beside that other parent who may not know Christ, you're building a relationship with them with the desire to share your faith. Number five, talk with your co-workers. And by that I mean more than just your business talk that you have to talk with people that you work with. So again, I'm going to be intentional about my co-workers. I'm going to pray for them every day. I got my prayer list and all the things I pray for. And your co-workers on your daily prayer list. Ask them about their family. Genuinely care about them. And invite them to things, including church. You know, it's not an accident that they're in your life. God has placed them in your life for this season, for a reason, for a purpose. And it's a kingdom purpose. It's for them to know Jesus. And they have to know. There's a sixth thing. Volunteer. Now, as a pastor, I definitely want you to volunteer in the church. But I also know that God's kingdom is a lot bigger than just Hanover Prince. It's the whole world out there. Right? So, there's a community out there for you as a believer to represent Jesus. And so get involved in your community. Maybe your local school or a non-profit like Pregnancy Resource Center. How about coaching the soccer team or the baseball team? That's a way for you as a believer to be out there in the world, not out in the world, making a difference. Kathy has done some things with our little sheriff's department and the Board of Elections. George Sutton isn't here today, but he is now a member of the school board. So there are a lot of ways to give something to the community for you to make a difference for Christ. Here's a broader picture, number seven. Participate in city-wide events. Instead of just more TV or more video games, get out and do a community run. And what they're deserving of out there. And that they have that community runs intentionally for the purpose of leading people to share Christ. You can go to festivals, concerts, community cleanups. I mean, kind of the list is endless there. And remember to pray for your city. Maybe it's Mechanicsville, maybe you live in Richmond, in Rico. Pray for your area, your city, that God's imprint will be more profound. An eighth idea. Serve your neighbor. In real practical ways, maybe as an elderly person, you can go over to rake their leaves, or mow their lawn, or help them build a cabinet, or fix their car. Well, what are your physical abilities? What are your skills? Can you use that for your neighbors within your neighborhood? And you can ask your neighborhood association, what are some ways where I can help you in my neighborhood? Or you can ask the police department, hey, what do you need in this community? How can I help you? So again, you're doing this intentionally with the mindset is I'm looking for ways and opportunities to share Christ. Let me close with the example of Jesus. Read through the Gospels again, and I'm doing that right now, with the idea of how did Jesus reach out to people? What were the ways that he did? And here's some things I found so far. I found that he never argued with lost people. If he argued with somebody, it was the religious people who thought they had it all together. He spoke the truth to people. If they disagreed with him, he just moved on. He treated everyone with love, even his enemies. He accepted people where they were at, but invited them to be where he was at. And he believed his message so much that he was willing to die for the message and for them, those people. So as we reach out with the love of Christ, I pray that we as a church will be more like him. You know, just have a heart for people who love people. We'll see. All of us will see ourselves as evangelists, as missionaries, and hospitality. It is an easy way. For every single one of us in here in some capacity that we thank you, Lord, for your way of modeling this to us. You hate with people. You love them. You minister to them. You help them. We see that all throughout the Bible and Scripture. So help us to take your word in our context in the 21st century, in our community, in our very world, in our world. And not only live for you by our life and our integrity, but also to speak the truth, to build relationships with people, to find those avenues of need in their life that we can speak into with the love of Christ. And Lord, we want to see people come to know you. We want to see people saved. That's our desire. We pray that we will see that and realize that in a revival in our community. In Jesus' name.